Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
We're liberal in the sense that the liberal arts schools are liberal. We're an urban newspaper. You know, I mean, we are liberal in the sense that, we are open-minded, sort of tolerant, urban. You know, our weddings page includes, and did even before New York had a gay marriage law, included gay unions. So we're liberal in that sense of the word, I guess.
So I'll ask you directly, and you can answer directly, does the New York Times have bias in favor of Democrats or liberals?
You know, aside from the liberal values, sort of social values thing that I talked about, no, I don't think it does.
That is Bill Keller. He's the former editor of the New York Times, speaking in 2011 at the LBJ Library and Museum in Austin, Texas, admitting that the New York Times news coverage, not only its opinions, but its news coverage itself, is socially liberal. Did he inadvertently, unwittingly put his finger on part of the problem when we see this new Gallup poll on the public confidence in the news media at an all-time low? Is it going lower? Welcome back to Issues Etc. Joining us to talk about this new Gallup poll on public confidence in the news media, Terry Mattingly, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the Weekly on Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be here.
Has Bill Keller unwittingly put his finger on the reason for the diminished trust in the mass media?
Well, I don't think you can say that it's the reason, but I think one would have to be rather blind to not say that it is a reason or a part of the kind of the spectrum of reasons that people are upset with the media. In the press coverage, the main story that I focused on at Get Religion was on CNN and then published at CNN.com. Everybody right now is talking about the perfectly valid angle in the world of media hating, which is the fact that Donald Trump is basically making a coast-to-coast evangelistic crusade against the media. He's doing everything but doing an altar call and asking people to burn their newspaper subscriptions. He's really cranked this thing up to a higher level. But if you read carefully in these surveys and the numbers that they're talking about right now, let's see, in a climate of bitter partisanship and anti-media rhetoric and diversified media opinions, just 32% of Americans now say they trust the media to report the news accurately and fairly, the lowest level since 1972. And then, you know, Republicans, it's down about the height of the space underneath the belly of a snake, you know, in terms of how much they trust the media. Everybody's blaming this on Trump. You could ask the question, though, 32% isn't very high. So if everybody is focusing on the trust in the media crashing an additional 10%, you know, in the last year or so, I think it's also valid to say, well, what was it that tore down the trust in the media before that? In other words, I don't think religion is the only cause of this massive distrust factor with the public viewing the media, but I don't think Donald Trump is all of it either. Does that make sense? In other words, this is a train wreck with multiple causes, and it's a train wreck that's been building now for a decade or two.
Is this good news or bad news? And the reason I ask this, Terry, I think a lot of people see this Gallup poll and say, well, this is good news. It shows that the American public is more discerning than ever, because who would ever believe anything that the media give us? But I don't think that's actually the case. I think perhaps the American public is more gullible than they've ever been before, because they're not even getting their news from the mass media. They're just getting it from click-through and clickbait on the internet. They may be more gullible while at the same time less trusting of
what we would call established news and media outlets. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's even more tragic than that. I mean, in the sense that distrust in the media has been around as long as in my own lifetime, and I'm in my early 60s, I remember people complaining about the media, you know, in the era of the Vietnam War. And, of course, we had Spiro Agnew when he was vice president before he fell from grace and fell into legal problems that forced his resignation. You know, we had him talking about the media elites, and Richard Nixon loved to bash the media. But if you looked back during that era, the numbers were nowhere near as bleak as they are now. I think what we're gradually seeing here, and maybe Trump has stuck the last knife in the sense that the mainstream press at this point, from my perspective, with some justifiable reason, they've said, okay, if Donald Trump wants to make the media the enemy, we'll just turn around and make him the enemy and fight back. And what we've seen is like an open confession that the press has gone back to the old European style, openly advocacy-biased media. So think of it as a stage, a three-stage process here. We had a long time when Americans knew that the media had its problems, but everybody knew what the goal was. Everyone knew that the goal was for us to have some forms of media in the marketplace, the mainstream newspapers, the Associated Press, the major evening news shows, CBS, ABC, NBC, etc. We had this American model that even though they weren't perfect, we all knew the goal was to try to do coverage that was both accurate and balanced, and people who were consuming that news had a chance to hear both sides. So that's stage one. And then many people would say we slid from that in, say, the era after Roe versus Wade. We slid from that as more children of the 60s began to run newsrooms until finally the press never said it had gone European. But what you hear in that Bill Keller quote is, well, we're still trying to do accurate and balanced coverage of politics, but when it comes to these issues of morality and culture, come on, we already know what we believe and we know what's right. The two most important words in the famous quote from Bill Keller is, aside from those issues of morality and culture and stuff, I think where the Times is not slanting things to the left. Well, as you and I have discussed before, what are the major political issues in American life over the last 30 to 40 years? What, at the level of the Supreme Court, what have the biggest disputes been about? I mean, other than the state of hanging chads in Florida and the occasional war, America has been fighting for decades now over moral, cultural, and social change, largely constructed by the court and to a certain degree in legislation. So at Get Religion, we call this Kellerism. And Kellerism is, in effect, when you're not openly practicing European advocacy journalism, but you've already decided on certain issues that's how you're going to cover the news. So picking up the New York Times on a daily basis is very frustrating because you'll just see page after page of classic, solid, resourceful American journalism, like the story I praised yesterday about the suspect in the New York City bombings. You see the New York Times doing work that the New York Times can do. But then you flip the page, and it's like you're reading a talking points memo from the public relations department of Planned Parenthood or a major gay rights organization. There's no attempt whatsoever to understand and accurately report the views of people on the other side of the issue. So number one, we're trying to do the American model of the press, and we're struggling to do it. In the middle, you have Kellerism. And now, in this campaign with Trump throwing hand grenades at everybody, and Hillary Clinton, she of the endless months of without a press conference, she's practicing her own kind of passive aggressive style of media manipulation and hatred. We seem now to have genuinely lurched into a third stage, which is open European journalism. At that point, a lot of Americans may say, well, hey, I recognize when they're lying, I'm going to watch the news shows that tell me the truth, or I'm going to listen to Rush Limbaugh or National Public Radio, and I know they'll give me the straight scoop, when what they're really doing is they're listening to the media outlets that already reinforce their existing points of view. And the extremes in American politics and culture and discourse just drift further and further and further apart, which, as I said earlier, is just frankly kind of tragic.
So is the answer to get your news from Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, or, for that matter, their liberal counterparts, whoever they may be?
Well, no. I mean, Americans, realizing this has happened, seeing this train wreck, Americans, if anything, should doubt the media that they most naturally trust and try deliberately to seek out some other points of view in an attempt to see if this information is interpreted the same way in different outlets. But what percentage of the American public is going to go to that effort in an era that some scholars have accurately called post-literate? You know, when rising numbers of young people are essentially getting a lot of their voting habits from Comedy Central and evening talk shows, and, you know, and the stuff their friends are forwarding them with a few clicks on Facebook. And we're into an era where the baby boomer generation famously transitioned from reading into basically getting most of our news, I should say, as a baby boomer, from television. Yeah, we all know that it's possible to go out there into the marketplace and consume a diverse menu of news sources and try to figure things out for ourselves. But is that what we're seeing? Is that what we're seeing in the polls? And is that what we're seeing in these new numbers from Gallup? And the answer is clearly not.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about a new Gallup poll on public confidence in the news media when we come back. Harkening back to the Woodward, Bernstein, Watergate era journalism, is there still a competition for the truth? Stay tuned.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about public confidence in the news media. Terry Mattingly is our guest. Terry, I'm also noting the dates. 1972 was the last high point here, and that's the Woodward, Bernstein, Watergate era of journalism. There doesn't seem to be today that same competition for the truth in the media.
Well, there's a competition to try to get as many people onto your site to maybe one out of 1,000 of them click on an ad that may keep you in business for, you know, another week or two. The competition has moved into a fierce, raging battle for clickbait, as you said earlier. But I think it's important to realize that even in the days of Woodward and Bernstein, I mean, Bernstein in particular was a strong advocate of what came to be called the new journalism. And the new journalism, Rolling Stone would be probably the best-known outlet for it, but the style pages of the Washington Post during that era was another place that people were really beginning to experiment with this kind of post-objective approach to the news. In other words, we already know what the truth is. Let's be honest and state our biases openly. So the new journalism, a term from the 70s opposed what people were already starting to call false balance. And false balance is when you do a story where you quote both sides of the issues, when you already know from the perspective of your editorial bias, you already know which side is right. So why don't you just go ahead and say that and be open about it? Which to some degree was what Keller was hinting at when he said that on moral social issues, we already know what we believe and we're not going to pretend otherwise. So even in the Woodward Bernstein era, or even especially in the Woodward Bernstein era, the seeds of the current crisis were already planted and were more than visible. In fact, if anything, that's kind of the era when that some of those terms like false balance sprang up. Now you have the President of the United States referring to false balance when he talks about coverage of Obamacare, for example. There's no need to cover the other side because we already know it's right. There's no need to fill our news outlets with false balance. Or you had Al Gore a number of years ago speaking to the newspaper editors of America saying that there was no longer any need to cover the other side of disputes about global warming because we already know it's right. So if you report the other side, even if those people happen to be on the faculty of MIT, you're just spreading bad information and you're not doing anything good for your culture. So knock it off. So once again, we've been going gradually through this three-stage process, and we're beginning to see clear signs. I mean, The Atlantic, I believe it was, has a new essay out called The End of He Said, She Said Journalism, which is their brutal way of saying the end of the American model of the press, the end of attempts to try to hear and understand views on both sides of some of these disputes. Let's just tell it the way we see it. Let's be blunt and let our biases be more open.
In terms of actually delivering news to a public that may, let's talk about Europe a little bit, to a public that knows that its journalism is advocacy style journalism, is there something inherently inferior about advocacy journalism?
No, I think it's a perfectly valid form of journalism. I just happen to think that especially in a nation as diverse as ours, if you look diverse geographically too, if you look at France and England, a lot of the journalism that really matters is done by truly national newspapers. And those newspapers put their bias right up in front on the masthead. In America, you have the New York Times, and that influences elite people a lot. You have lots of business people walking around in airports with copies of USA Today and the Wall Street Journal stuck under their arms. But for the most part, the great mass of Americans get their news, in printed form at least, from local and regional newspapers. So when this sort of thing starts soaking down to the local level, people don't have any other options to find out what's happening in their local communities other than just like rumors printed online. Some people can call that citizen journalism, but where's the professionalism in that? How do you trust whether this kind of volunteer reporter that's put something up on the web is offering you accurate information about what happened at the school board meeting last night? America isn't Europe in terms of how our media system is set up. So this could be a long, long, very painful process. But what's really most tragic, in my opinion, is when you begin to see these same advocacy patterns on moral, social, and religious issues beginning to show up in the news that's reported by the Associated Press. Because when the AP does something, that affects about 80% of the newspaper readers in America all at once. And the Associated Press isn't going to say, oh, by the way, we are now a morally, religiously, culturally liberal institution. Don't expect to see balanced coverage of religious liberty or science or education or abortion. Don't look for balance on any of those topics. We've changed. That's where it's really going to hurt.
If mass media were to accept responsibility, or at least partial responsibility, for the results of that Gallup poll and the public trust, and they wanted to rebuild that trust, how would they go about doing that with the public?
You know, at this moment, I'm not even really ready to talk about that. I've been a part of newsrooms when we had very controversial stories that were coming to town, and we would sit at the city desk and we would say, now how are we going to try to cover this story in a way that the public will see that we're trying to listen to both sides? I'm not sure that's a conversation that's taking place anymore. So you can do journalism that shows the public, look, we are digging very hard into the rather bizarre claims of fact from Donald Trump. Meanwhile, you can see that we're trying just as hard and with equal levels of energy and maybe the occasional venom to dig into the financial practices of the Clinton Foundation. Or we're going to cover the Benghazi hearings as something in which there are people who think this is a GOP fraud, but there are other people, including the parents of people who died there, who think this was a serious issue the public needs to know more about. We're going to make that attempt. At this point, the only folks who could do anything about that are newspaper editors. The only people who can hire a newsroom that contains any kind of intellectual and cultural diversity are newspaper editors. So it's the only people that can make that kind of difference. And as I've told you before, yes, it would also help if for decades now our major religious institutions and their colleges and universities hadn't already written off journalism back in the days when they had a chance to have more of an impact, when they had a chance to produce journalists, young journalists with a potentially different cultural and intellectual Rolodex in their head. You know, that's why I've been in journalism education now for coming up on a quarter of a century, is I honestly believe in intellectual diversity in newsrooms. I think debate is a good thing. I think it's a good thing when you say, yes, your sources say this, but my sources have a completely different spin on that set of numbers. How are we going to let the public know about both sides? I'm not sure those arguments are occurring in newsrooms much these days.
Where does it go from here? If it's dropped 10 points in just recent history down to half of what it was in 1972, are we looking at...
Oh.
What are we looking at in terms of the future of the fourth state?
No, this hasn't bottomed out. This has not bottomed out. I'll just frame it to you in the easiest way. Do you think it's going to improve with a large part of the American public if Hillary Clinton is president, looking back at the previous Clinton era?
Absolutely.
Is that going to lead to lots of warm feelings toward the press covering these issues and doing a fair job of covering her?
No.
Absolutely not. Do you think it's going to improve if Donald Trump becomes president?
Even less.
Even less. Although both of these people have almost identical I hate their guts numbers in American polls. This is why I have friends that this has become a religious issue. They legitimately want to know, why did God let this happen? Folks, if it gets any worse in the opinion polls toward the press, there may even be journalists kind of in their foxholes where there are no journalism atheists looking around their newsroom saying, oh my God, why did you let this happen? You know, in terms of public attitudes toward the press. Because trust me, if there was anything newspaper publishers shouldn't be wanting to do right now, it's looking around the communities that support them and say, okay, 60% of you, I no longer care what you think. And I'm going to show you that in the coverage every day when you pick up your paper. I'm going to make you feel like an alien from another planet when you pick up your newspaper and read stories about what's happening in public schools, what's happening in debates about religion, what's happening, you know, in race relations in our town or whatever. I'm going to write off your point of view because I already know you're wrong. In fact, I'm going to try to evangelize you for the other side. Boy, that's going to be really, really good for readership.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
Hour two of Issues Etc. We're going to talk about cafeteria Catholics in American politics with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse and our weekly update on the November elections.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.